How should Lutherans respond to the assertion, your church is too Catholic? Find out in Pastor Will Wheaton's column in the latest Issues Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joshua Pauling traces his path from big box evangelicalism and Reformed Calvinism to the treasures of historic Christianity found in the Lutheran Church, the free online Issues Etc. Journal.
And if you call, I will answer. And if you fall, I'll pick you up.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to go through listener email, live this Friday, March the 12th. Also, the Issues Etc. comment line, our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our comment line, 618-223-8382.
Well, coming off that excellent conversation with Dr. Nicholas Wolgemuth, first two listeners will respond to our questions about COVID vaccines. Justin writes, I just listened to your recent interview with the Charlotte Lozier Institute. I continue to be dispirited by the commentary around the COVID vaccines. Fetal cell lines, so clinical and impersonal. In other areas of life issues, we talk about euphemisms being used to detach us from the reality of what is really happening. In this case, we are talking about a child who was not only the victim of an abortion, but also organ harvesting and the ongoing desecration of her body. With that in mind, can someone explain why it should make any difference whether her cells are used in the development slash creation or testing of a vaccine? In my mind, it is a distinction without a difference. No vaccine or any product, for that matter, is developed or created without testing being an integral aspect of that development slash creation process. I would really appreciate it if Issues Etc. would ask this question the next time it has a guest on discussing COVID-19 vaccines or any other vaccines. Are we so willing to throw open the door to the broad use of vaccines simply because they used aborted cells to test the vaccine rather than to manufacture the vaccine? Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Justin.
Well, again, this is something that every person must be convinced of in their own mind, as St. Paul would say. The conscience here is in play, and we don't want Christians to violate their conscience, but we do want their conscience to be well-informed. A well-informed conscience is one of the best tools that you have. So if someone says, I cannot in good conscience take a vaccine that was developed without the use of fetal cells, but was tested using fetal cells, and they cannot do that in good conscience, by all means, do not go against your conscience. Now, I do need to address the issue of the language that we were using. We were talking with, I can't remember who it was, but she was from Charlotte Lozier Institute.
Dr. Tara Sander Lee.
Oh, Tara Sander Lee, that's right. And the reason I think that she was using these technical terms, fetal cell lines and things like that, is to speak about them accurately. But that was not to deny in any way that what we're talking about is our cells derived from an aborted fetus. She would not deny that at all, but she wants to speak accurately as a medical doctor to describe how it is described in the whole process. So I don't think there was any attempt to make it clinical or make it a euphemism on her part. She was just using the current accurate medical language with regard to that. So the ethics of this is difficult because we have currently, at least two that I know of, Pfizer and Moderna, two vaccines for COVID that, according to Charlotte Lozier Institute's research, were developed without the use of any fetal cell lines. They were developed using other cell lines, or maybe even not with any kind of cell lines at all. But they were, in some sense, tested using those cell lines. Now, for some, that's going to be, as you say, a distinction without a difference. But for others, it's going to be, well, okay, the kind of guilt by association that someone might have or sense from a vaccine using fetal cell lines doesn't exist as long as that vaccine didn't use the fetal cell lines in its creation. And again, if your conscience cannot bear the fact that it was used in testing, and there are many who would say, I can't do it, then by all means, don't violate your conscience. Ethical questions, if they were easy, wouldn't be ethical questions. They would just be ethical statements. So let your conscience be guided, but let it be well-informed. And we will ask, next time we talk about the vaccine, we will ask that specific question about what's the ethical distinction between creating them with fetal cell lines and testing them with fetal cell lines.
Here's another email regarding COVID vaccines. I would like to offer a line of thought for consideration on the moral and ethical implications of using vaccines derived from fetal cell lines. First, elective abortion is morally repugnant and an affront to the image of God. But I fail to see a moral distinction between the use of fetal cell lines resulting from that evil and organ transplants using tissue from individuals killed via direct human evil, DUIs, homicide, etc. The recipient of the donated organs most certainly benefited from the death of another, but are themselves innocent of the crime which took the donor's life. Likewise, those who take advantage of vaccines that use fetal cell lines have not participated in the evil committed and are innocent of the moral abomination that is abortion and therefore may accept the vaccine with a clean conscience. That being said, I accept also that there are Christians who do not believe they can accept a vaccine developed in this manner and are called upon by Scripture to follow their conscience. While I disagree with her moral conclusions, I applaud Issues, etc. for bringing on Dr. Tara Sander Lee of the Charlotte Lozier Institute. It is only by examining the issues in the light of day that we can make fully informed decisions.
Thank you. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to examine all these issues in the light of day and not hide anything. As to your analogy, and I think that's the best way to describe this, your analogy between aborting a unborn baby and then harvesting some tissue in order to do some research, or in the case of embryonic stem cells, creating an embryo in the test tube in order to develop, say, T cells from that embryo as it develops, and then doing away with the which is again harvesting their tissues. The analogy between that and, say, getting a liver transplant from someone who died in the course of murdering someone or being murdered. I'm not an ethicist. The only distinction I can think of there is consent. People who have their organs donated for the benefit of organ transplants give their consent for that. How they died then becomes kind of immaterial, whether they died committing a crime or whether they died because of a crime. You agree that both of them, both the baby in the womb or the embryo in the petri dish or in the test tube, and the person who died, who got shot in the street, they're the victims of that crime. I think what's working here is we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that, at least in the very case of Planned Parenthood, they are doing abortions in order to sell the tissues for research and for all kinds of things like this. The guy who goes out and shoots someone in the street isn't shooting that guy to get his liver. Now, well, maybe he would. In that case, it would be wrong for him to both shoot him and to get his liver afterwards. But if he shoots him and someone else happens to get his liver by way of transplant, that person is not going to be complicit. But notice the difference. Planned Parenthood, at the very least, is aborting children for the purpose of selling their tissues. We know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. It has actually been literally proven in court several times as they've been going after David Daleiden. So that raises the question, do we want to be complicit in Planned Parenthood's crimes? And I think most Christians are going to say, no way. We'll be right back.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you considered homeschooling your children, but wondered if you have the time or the expertise? If you live in the St. Louis Metro East, check out St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. We offer a classical Lutheran education for children pre-kindergarten through 8th grade. St. Paul Lutheran School is located just off of Interstate 55 in Hamel. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. school.stpaulhamel.org.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Postmodernism, in its sort of rejection of truth overall, has left this one area of truth remaining, and that's the lens of power.
So somewhere in between that time where I had that strong reaction to a Sanctity of Life Sunday and being offered an abortion, God changed my heart completely, and it was receiving God's Word, properly distinguished law and gospel, that changed my heart.
Scientism takes the tool of science and it leverages it to justify a grand narrative of the universe, specifically without God or without reference to things divine.
Baptism is a work of Jesus to cleanse, to sanctify, to forgive His holy Christian church.
Get ready to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in a half hour live on this Friday afternoon, the 12th of March. We'll play those four sound bites for you in their entirety, and then it's your choice, which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Listeners with the best votes will win the LPR bundle package, and you can vote by going to our Facebook fan page right now, facebook.com/issuesetc, sending us a tweet at issuesetc, an email talkback@issuesetc.org, or wait and give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. In the meantime, we're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
And not for public consumption, but a little secret, you have a better chance of winning the LPR bundle package if you actually call in live at 877-623-MYIE. There's a reason for this. It's a great opportunity to break up Pastor Wilkin reading email after email, preceded by tweets and Facebook posts. Gives him a break. So give Todd a break.
Yeah, gives me a little break.
Call, and you have a better chance to win the LPR bundle package. But don't tell anybody. It's a secret. Here's a great question. Please explain the Book of Life. Has it existed since the beginning and never changes? If a person is baptized, does that mean their name is written in it? If so, what if they fall away from the faith? Likewise, just because one is baptized, it doesn't mean their name is written in the Book of Life. Thank you. I love your broadcast. It has been such a blessing to me. Thank you for listening and thanks for the email.
Well, the Book of Life is mentioned in one form or another about a dozen times in both the Old and the New Testament. If you want the passages, it's in two places in the Psalm, in Psalm 69 and Psalm 139. It is in Exodus 32, kind of an odd place where Moses is asking God that His name be taken out of the Book of Life for the people's sake. It's, of course, in Luke chapter 10 where Jesus mentions it, and Philippians 4 where Paul mentions it. And then if you get to the Book of Revelation, there's about six different mentions of the Lamb's Book of Life or the Book of Life. So a couple basic things. Is there a book? Does God have a book where He has written your name? Apparently He does. And the people whose name appear in that book are given eternal life. Can you be blotted out of the Book of Life? Yes, you can. The Book of Revelation says one thing that can get you blotted out of the Book of Life is adding or taking away from God's Word. And the threat is you will be blotted out of the Book of Life. That is erased from the Book of Life. So it can happen. Of course, that is at God's discretion and not ours. You ask, if you're baptized, is your name written in the Book of Life? The answer to that is, of course it is, because baptism gives forgiveness, life, and salvation gets your name written in the Book of Life. Has it been written there from before the foundation of the world? Yes, it has. Because before the foundation of the world, God chose those whom he would bring to faith and give them eternal life. What was the other question? Oh, what happens when you fall away from your baptism? We don't know the answer to that question because the power and the efficacy of baptism remain even though one may fall away, one would hope temporarily, from their baptism. The power of baptism does not cease to be. So does God immediately erase such a person who's fallen away from their baptism? Or does God, we're speaking here in human terms then, kind of wait to see what's going to happen? Does he know what's going to happen? Now we're delving into things that God has not revealed to us. He has not answered those questions. And so we are not permitted to answer them or speculate about them at all. Speculating on them would do nothing but rob us of the comfort of baptism and of the fact that Jesus assures us that those who have been given eternal life have their names written. That's intended to be an assurance to us. It's not intended to be a source of uncertainty, to have the assurance that God has actually written your name in this book.
But Scripture does not teach once baptized, always saved.
No, it doesn't. Scripture clearly teaches you can fall away from the faith and you can deny your baptism to your eternal judgment.
Hello, Lutheran Public Radio and staff of Issues, etc. This is Mark calling from Fenton, Missouri. I have just a couple comments. It was good to hear the voice of Kathy in St. Charles during the recent listeners segment. I recall her calling in often with Don Matzett. Number two, I often wonder about Pastor Matzett. Since I've listened for that long, is there anything you would be free to share, or could he be a guest for reminiscing? And number three, listeners with complaints need to be reminded that Issues is no more perfect than they are, and they should mostly just endure or avoid segments that trigger them. Thank you for the marvelous programming and how Issues has continued to edify me. Bye for now.
Thank you very much. Let me just respond to the last thing first, and then Jeff and I can respond to the question about Don Matzett, who's a former host of Issues, etc. Yes, it's true. Issues, etc. is no more perfect. What do we strive for? We strive to be in conformity with God's word in everything that we broadcast. We pride ourselves in striving to do that. Are we perfect in that? No, we aren't. And where we are wrong, you are free to point that out to us. Now, where you just happen to disagree on a matter that God's word doesn't speak, you're also free to point out your disagreement, but we might just disagree. So we are no more perfect than any person out there. This host is no more perfect. Jeff, I know, is no more perfect. So there's no, don't try to assign us inerrancy because we believe in inerrancy. Just because someone believes in inerrancy doesn't mean that they are claiming inerrancy for themselves. Now to the question of whatever happened to Don Matzett.
Well, Pastor Matzett has quasi-retired, but he still is a pastor. I don't know if it's full-time or part-time here in Greater St. Louis. And it just so happens, Mark, your timing is great. Don Matzett has written a new book about Catherine Parr, the sixth and final wife of Henry VIII, and he calls her a reformer. And we're hoping that Pastor Matzett will be a guest next week on Issues, Etc. to talk about his new book on Catherine Parr.
He is a prolific author. He's written numerous books, and I think for a time was doing radio in Pittsburgh, and then at long last kind of semi-retired and returned to the St. Louis area. So hopefully he will be on the show this next week.
And thanks for the kind words about Issues, Etc. Marianne in Des Moines, Iowa, she's got a great question. Hello, I've noticed that the daily chapel services broadcast each day at 9 in the morning central from Kramer Chapel in Fort Wayne have not aired recently. I hope this is simply due to a seasonal break at the seminary and not a permanent decision. I am greatly blessed by those daily chapel services and look forward to them each weekday. Thank you for your worldwide outreach, concludes Marianne in Des Moines, Iowa.
The reason that the Kramer Chapel services have not been airing for a while is because they haven't existed for a while. They have been on break, and therefore their chapel services have been suspended, and they're supposed to come back Monday. Is that correct? Monday the 15th.
At 9 central, and you can listen at You can listen at issuesetc.org, the Lutheran Public Radio app, or Amazon Echo and Google Home, and your keyword to ask for is Lutheran Talk Radio. Play Lutheran Talk Radio.
Is it going to be 9 Central because we do daylight savings time this weekend?
Yes, it'll still be 9 Central. Craig and I come in. It's always 9 Central, right? Although in the summer it's like 8:35 Central.
Okay.
But I never remember coming in at 10.
Okay.
This is the complete wrong question to ask me because I don't even change my clocks.
You never change
my clock? Car out there still. It says 5:12 right now. So no, I'm sorry. I'm no help here.
You mean you don't change your clocks at home? Tori lets you not change the clocks.
Well, Tori changes the clocks.
Oh, okay. Okay.
If there's a clock that I'm in charge of, it doesn't get changed.
Yeah. This is the one I dread. The spring forward. And yeah. I don't know why I dread it because I love the daylight getting longer and I love more daylight, or at least apparently more daylight as the summer's days grow longer. But this is the one that for my adjustment to this, it takes almost until fall back to adjust to spring forward.
All right. Here's one comment and two questions from Bobby in Corinth, Texas. For the next time you need an hour to fill for your responding listener questions segment, I didn't read that in advance. That's
funny. He gets us.
Here are two questions and one suggestion. One, regarding podcast 0624 with John Bombaro regarding superstition and scientism, I try very hard not to be superstitious, but as a baseball fan and particularly a Texas Rangers fan whose heart stopped when Texas was one strike away from beating your beloved St. Louis Cardinals in the 2011 World Series. And then Nelson Cruz misread David Freese's hit to right field that went past him, and the rest is history. I confess that I had said out loud after the second strike that we were going to win the World Series, and then that happened. It's really, really hard for this lifelong misery sinner Lutheran to not be superstitious when baseball constantly does these things to me, but I will keep trying. That's his comment.
Well, and look, superstition, we tend to laugh it off because it's so common and because we think we don't take it seriously, but there is a seed in that superstition that is contrary to God's word, and that is somehow we can control the events of our life, or that we can somehow make something happen, or more likely prevent something from happening. And baseball is not without its superstitions. There's no doubt about it. It would be interesting to ask the baseball players who, and it happens in every sport, ask them, do you really believe that wearing the same pair of socks is going to make you play better? Or do you really believe that some sort of a gesture is going to make the play go your way? I think most of them say no, but it doesn't hurt. And my point with superstition is, yes, it does. Yes, it does. There are no forces in the universe controlling what happens that you can somehow manipulate. God is in control. So even a little superstition is a dangerous thing.
Bobby has a suggestion. Have a page on our website that lists your current sponsors and their contact information. I mainly listen in the car, driving, or while walking the dogs, and there are times I want to get the phone number or website address of one of your advertisers, but I don't want to try and go back through the podcast when I get back to the house or office to find the commercial. It would be great if you could list them on your website.
Well, we could probably do this. It'd probably be most convenient to put it at the bottom of the homepage, just to put all the... But you don't want to overload the website with too much information. But if we put it at the bottom of the homepage, it probably wouldn't hurt.
There's two reasons. The one you just mentioned. But secondly, there's different levels of sponsorship.
And not all of them
include... And the premium sponsors get a hyperlink. We could change that, but it is what it is right now. Finally, Bobby writes, if you commit a sin in your dreams, did you commit the sin? I say yes. My wife disagrees. But before you answer that, he says, sorry for the long email, Jeff. Again, feel free to break these up and spread them across future episodes if time filler is needed. But answer his question, if you commit a sin in your dreams, did you commit the sin?
Yes, you did. Now someone says, come on, I didn't really do it, and I'm not in control of what I do in my dreams. But it's still you. It may be your subconscious mind, it may be your unconscious mind that was doing it, but you still did it. We say thought, word, and deed, and yes, that includes dreams. And even when you weren't in control of what you were thinking during that dream or doing during that dream, yes, indeed, it still is a manifestation of your fallen sinful nature, and as such is really a sin. You don't get a break in your dreams. You're a Christian all the time, whether you can help it or not. And you just walk through it simply like this. Why did you dream the thing you dreamt? Well, it's because I'm a sinner. So when you ask the question, why did I do X? It's because I'm a sinner. That thing that you did, X, even if it happened in a dream, is still a sin. Is it an unconscious sin? Yes. Is it an unintentional sin? Yes. I mean, intentional from a conscious standpoint, but your unconscious mind was at work in that. And you are culpable to God for the things that you do that you're aware of and the things that you do that you're not aware of. And since, I guess, dream experts tell us that we only remember like 20% of what we dream, we only remember 20% of it, there's a lot of sins that we are unaware of. But that's okay, because Jesus died for those too. And that's okay, because we confess the sins, even those sins of which we are unaware. And I think Luther has a tremendous insight here. Someplace he talks about the magnitude of our fallen nature being so great that we can't even conceive of it. We are even, our sinfulness is so great and manifests itself in so many different ways that were we to be shown the full magnitude of our sinfulness and the full weight of our sins, it would crush us completely, which is why Jesus took that full weight of every man, woman, and child ever born according to the course of nature, according to the course of Adam, on himself. Even the things you sinned while you were dreaming. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is called A Simple Explanation of Easter. It's a little booklet. It comes in packets of 20 from Concordia Publishing House, and it answers every question you might have about the Christian celebration of Easter and why we hold it central, the resurrection of Christ, in our theology. Find out more about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, A Simple Explanation of Easter. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, Dr. Michael New of the Catholic University of America joins us to talk about a new movie called Roe v. Wade. How should Lutherans respond to the assertion, your church is too Catholic? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joshua Pauling traces his path from big box evangelicalism and Reformed Calvinism to the treasures of historic Christianity found in the Lutheran Church. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you on the road to paradise in the southern Puget Sound area of Western Washington, but looking for a traditional liturgical Lutheran congregation in classical Lutheran elementary school? Parkland Lutheran Church and School in Tacoma, a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, is the place to find our Savior's rest on Sunday mornings and Monday evenings. Visit our website at parklandlutheran.org for service times and downloadable sermons, preaching, teaching, and distributing Christ and Him crucified every week.
Have you ever wished you could see Ad Crucem's products before buying them? Well, now you can. Ad Crucem has opened our brand new workshop in Littleton, Colorado. Come visit us and watch how we make our Christmas ornaments. Check out the quality and fabric of our church banners, or choose some greeting cards, posters, icons, or jewelry. Of course, if you can't make it to Colorado, we are still open online. For details or directions, visit adcrucem.com. That's ADC. RUCEM.com.